Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, rugby fans. Welcome to episode 122 of the DNVR Rugby Podcast. My name is Colton Strickler. I'm your host. Had a busy week. I had a lot of interviews and stuff lined up this week, so I did not have as much time to write the podcast as I usually do. But I still think we have a good show for everybody today. Excited to get into it. We'll jump into it the same way we do every week, and that's by starting with the breakdown. Breakdown is brought to you by O'Neill's. O'Neill's is the official sportswear supplier to the biggest teams in world rugby, Infinity Park, and the American Raptors. Shop apparel now at O'Neill's.com. That's O-N-E-I-L-L-S.com. So, starting off the breakdown, we got two more Raptors announced on the move this week. We've got Sean Clark heading down to Dallas to join the Jackals. Casey McDermott-Vi is heading to Austin to join the Gilgronis. Sean Clark becomes the fourth Raptor to join the Jackals ahead of the 2022 season. That was kind of a tongue twister. I've got Campbell Johnstone already heading down that way. Sam Phillips, last week's guest. Tommy Medeiros, now Sean Clark. So Sean signed a deal with the Los Angeles Giltinis in the spring, if you remember. Former football tight end, played at Monmouth University. Had a mini camp workout or something with the Indianapolis Colts. Kind of discovered in the AAF. No, excuse me, in the Spring League. I think he did play in the AAF too. I could be wrong. He's playing in the Spring League. That's kind of how Peter Pass found him. Came out to camp and joined. He's kind of been from the XO since the beginning. I remember seeing him at that November camp in 2020. He was just walking around watching. But he's been around from the very start. So he played with the USA U23s at this year's Rugby Town Sevens. Played so well, he got invited to Chula Vista to train with the men's sevens team for their fall camp. Has been dealing with a little bit of a shoulder injury since, you know, the whole time he's been playing rugby, I know. So he only played one match with the American Raptors in the fall before having shoulder surgery, and it's looked like he's made some good progress in his recovery, so it's good to see him get a shot with the Jackals. I think he's going to be really good. He's huge. If you've seen, he's 6'9", runs, he's got, you know, he moves really good for a guy that tall, and he's really liked rugby, and he's really picked it up very, very quickly, so... happy for Sean. Happy to see him get a shot down there in Dallas. Like I said at the at the top of the breakdown, Casey McDermott-Vi, another Texas guy, played his college football at TCU. Got invited to a rookie camp with the Seattle Seahawks. Friend of the program. If you are interested in learning more about Casey, I think I've done two episodes with him now, so you can go check that out. And I'm trying to get him on next week as well to talk about this move. And I know he's had a little bit of an injury problem these last couple months, I guess, since he's been playing rugby. He's been banged up, but he was healthy in the fall and had a good season, scored a couple nice tries, played really well down in Uruguay, so I'm happy to see him get this shot with Austin. It's going to be fun to go down to Texas. These Texas Cup matches are going to mean a little bit more to me now. I know a couple guys playing in them, got a few Raptors, all across the Texas Cup matchup, so it'll be fun to watch. So congrats to both of those guys, wishing them nothing but the best of luck. Looking forward to watching them in the spring. And like I said, these last few weeks, still expect a few more guys to get signed. Things have been, things change and everything like that. But if you look hard enough, you'll see a few guys scattered around. I know a lot of guys are doing preseason stuff with a couple of teams, but not sure if that's going to translate into contracts or anything. But their foot's in the door. They're getting, exposed to more rugby, playing in more rugby environments, which is always a plus. But like I said, keep your eyes, peeled. There's going to be a few more guys getting signed over these next few weeks, couple months, and then even into the season, right? When people start dealing with injury problems or you get thin at something with guys go off and do other things, I would expect a few more of these Raptors to get bumped up. So that's all the Raptors news I have for you this week. Again, we're in the off season, so it is kind of slow. The only other thing I wanted to talk about in the breakdown, I guess the biggest MLR news of the week, is the San Diego Legion moving to the sports deck at San Diego State University for their home matches in 2022. They're moving on from Torero Stadium. Looks like this new place they're playing looks like a rugby pitch on top of a parking garage. And for all those people that played NFL Street back in the day, you've reminded me of that one field where you're playing football on top of a skyscraper. That's kind of what it looks like. It's obviously not a skyscraper, but it is pretty high off the ground. It looks, like I said, off top of a parking garage, so it's a good 4 or 5 levels high. Will be lots of places to park, which I guess is a good thing. So I'm interested to see about that, and I think I'm going to try to go down to San Diego in February, catch one of those matches. That might be, I might have to really go do that now to check out the new pitch. It kind of does it for the breakdown, though. That's all I really wanted to talk about this week. We'll go ahead and move into the next part of the show, which is all the rugby you could watch this weekend. Start with the Heineken Champions Cup. We've got Ulster versus Northampton on Friday at 1 p.m. Harlequins versus Cardiff Blues on Saturday at 6 a.m. Bath versus La Rochelle on Saturday at 6 a.m. Sale versus Clermont on Saturday at 8:15 a.m. Glasgow Warriors versus Exeter on Saturday at 10:30 a.m. Racing 92 versus Ospreys on Saturday at 10:30 a.m. Munster versus Castres on Saturday at 1 p.m. Leicester versus Connacht on Sunday at 6 a.m. Scarlets versus Bordeaux Beagles on Sunday at 6 a.m. Toulouse versus Wasps on Sunday at 8:15 a.m. Stade France versus Bristol on Sunday at 10:30 a.m. You can watch all of those on Peacock. There already has been one match canceled due to some COVID stuff, so would not be surprised if there's a few less matches that take place this weekend as you see COVID kind of rearing its ugly head everywhere. If you look across any of the sports league, vaccinated, non-vaccinated, it doesn't really matter. It's just kind of tearing through all these competitions, so keep an eye on that. But the ones that do happen will take place on Peacock, so that's a place to be. Moving into Challenge Cup, we've got Dragons versus Lyon Friday at 1 p.m. Toulon versus Zebre on Friday at 1 p.m. Gloucester versus Benetton also on Friday at 1 p.m. Worcester Warriors versus Biot Olympique on Saturday at 8:15 a.m. London Irish versus CA Brive on Sunday at 8:15 a.m. You can watch all of those on epcrugby.tv. Remember, each match costs $5. Moving into the Allianz Premier 15s, we got DMP Durham Sharks versus Exeter Chiefs Women on Saturday at 5 a.m. Loughborough Lightning versus Bristol Bears Women on Saturday at 7 a.m. Sale Sharks Women versus Saracens Women on Sunday at 7 a.m. And then Worcester Warriors Women versus Gloucester Harpy Women's RFC on Sunday at 7:30 a.m. And you can catch all of those on Premier15s.com, so Premier15s.com. That does it for all the rugby you can watch this week, and I think there's a little bit more, but I don't think it's very easily accessible. Could be wrong. So we'll go ahead and move into the interview portion of the show. So this interview with American Raptors wing Gerard Cann is brought to you by Guard Lab. Join the mouthguard revolution with American-made mouthguards that perform, protect, and recover. For more information, visit guardlab.com. So had a conversation with Gerard Cann. It was a good one. Talked to you about, you know, just his journey from football to rugby. Played some football in some interesting places. Nothing's really come easy for Gerard, and that's kind of what made this conversation so good. It was such a, you know, good guy to talk to, hear his perspective on things, because he really has had to work for what he's got. And, you know, I like that. I like talking to people like that. So it was fun to hear about, you know, his experience with rugby and kind of what he's got next on the horizon. Sounds like rugby's still in the mix. He's keeping his options open. Looking forward to seeing where that takes him. So with that introduction, let's go ahead and kick it to my conversation with American Raptors wing Gerard Cann. All right, now welcome on a very special guest. We got American Raptors wing Gerard Cann. Gerard, how's it going, man?
I'm doing well, man. It's good to hear from you. How you doing today, brother?
I'm doing good. Thanks so much for coming to chat with me. I really appreciate the time. You're a guy I've wanted to talk to for quite a while now. I think I met you back in May, I think, is when I started seeing you around, and I knew I wanted to get you on, so I'm glad that we finally got to knock this one out. So, Gerard, first question I ask everybody that comes on the show is just, can you tell us a little bit about where you're from?
Yeah, man. I'm from small town Dover, Delaware. I grew up and was raised here. I started off playing baseball and just kind of traveled out and went to college and did some stuff traveling around. So, yeah, man, small town. Nobody never knows where Delaware is. It's kind of funny.
Yeah. I was going to say, I've never been to Delaware. It's not even been on the list of places I've been trying to visit.
It's funny, man, because you can drive. I feel like you can drive any direction an hour and you're out of Delaware.
So yeah.
It's a pretty small state.
Nice. Is that the first state in the country? Is that correct? Was that like the first?
Yes, it is.
Okay. See, I feel like I learned that trivia question recently.
Yeah. There we go.
Brush up on that knowledge. That's good stuff right there.
Right. A little bit of Biden, man. A little bit of Biden putting us on the map.
Yeah. Very nice. So, Gerard, I know you said you played some baseball. Did you play any other sports growing up before? I know you obviously come from a football background. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But what other sports did you play growing up?
Like I said, I definitely started off as a huge baseball guy. I started playing baseball, Little League, and did all 4 years throughout high school. I didn't start trying other sports until my senior year of high school. So I did the football, I did track, I did swimming even, and did well in that. Just tried to do as many sports as I could to see if I could get a shot at a scholarship and try to get some schooling paid for.
Yeah. What position did you play in baseball?
Oh, I was center field and pitcher. But I played every position, really. But my favorite position was center field. I could run a little bit. So, you get to get first call towards the ball. And that was my thing. I was out there getting on people's nerves.
Makes sense. You can cover some ground, I'm sure. Catches fly balls. I know. Then you said you started playing football. Is that your senior year?
Yeah. Yep. I started playing my senior year. And they had me come on as a slot receiver. That was a lot of fun, definitely coming out and just, enjoying it with the guys, creating a different atmosphere, being real, loving and just being myself out there. And the guys took a liking to me. Coaches took a liking to me real fast. So they kind of moved me up in the ranks really quick. It was kind of like an accelerated thing, kind of just how, I transferred over into rugby as an accelerated thing. So it's kind of,
What took so long to get into football?
To be honest, I'm not really sure. I like baseball so much, and I have a habit of when I like something, I'm like, it ain't broke. I'm just going to stick with it.
Right. I can get that. I can relate for sure.
Yep. So I was just kind of stuck with baseball, but my mom, my senior year was just like, hey, I think you really got some talent. I think you should be the first to try to go and get a scholarship and go to college and, do that for the family. Because I see it in you. So I was like, all right, well, let's see what we can do. I'll go try. I like playing. I just like games. So I like being a competitive athlete. I just like doing that, being in that atmosphere. So I'll try it all. I'm not going to deny anything that, is out there to, be tried.
So, right.
Yeah.
So when did you kind of fall in love with it, right? Because that's turns out to be something that you pursue.
So what really got me into football is I had a mentor from baseball, actually. I was best friends with this guy named Nick Spadafino. His father saw the talent that I had after my first season playing football. And he was like, man, listen, I don't want to see you stick around here in Dover and go to the D3 schools and just, kind of be on the same path I've seen some of these other people. So if you're interested, I have an ultimatum. I went to this place called Fork Union Military Academy. Mm-hmm. It's like, they'll get you right. They'll make your body in the best shape you need it to be. They'll get your education and your scores up because it's a prep school. So you can kind of incubate there and just sit there for a little bit and get your grades right. So I was like, you know what? It sounds hard. It sounds like crap, but I'm down for it. Let's go. How do you do it?
Yeah.
So he got me in, and we just kind of took off from there, and I just started plugging away.
So I got a couple questions about that. So first of all, that sounds scary. That sounds like, when you watch movies and stuff when you're a little kid, and that's always that's always the punishment, right? Your parents threaten you by sending you to military school if you don't get you don't get your grades right. So was it scary? Was it hard?
What, man, that was probably the most, besides a couple other things that happened in my life, that was probably one of the most detrimental, pivotal parts of my life, because it scared me to the point where I had no other choice but to rely on what I envisioned we were going to do, what the plan was. I had to stick to the plan because I'm like, I can't deter from this. This is hard. I'm out here. There's no television. There's no feels like no electricity on here. There's nothing out here. I'm 30 miles from anything civilization purposes. So I'm like, there's no girls out here. It's just you and a bunch of guys yelling at you. So I'm like, I gotta.
Interesting. What's a regular day at that school look like then? You get the trumpet or whatever blasting in your ear. Is that what it was like?
yep, exactly. So, man, you're waking up at 5 a.m. every day. You're waking up with the platoon leader, waking up screaming at you with the trumpets and everything. You have 5 minutes to get up and ready, be in full uniform, and have your bed made, and be standing out at attention by the front of your door in 5 minutes.
Jeez.
Yeah, dude. So they do inspection, they do roll call, they come down, Everybody gets in lines, you walk down, and you go on like a 5-mile run with your platoon leader. After the run, you go to breakfast, but I forgot what they called it at the time. You go to breakfast, take breakfast, and then you go to football because it's also like a academy. So you're doing football mm-hmm. and the military side of it. So you go do your football stuff in the morning, lift or whatever it may be, go to class, come back out to march. You got to do your military protocol stuff, go back out to another practice, you know, so it's all day thing.
Yeah.
All the way until straightly, I think it's like straight at 9, you have to go back to your rooms and everything.
Jeez. What percentage of kids at that school like go on to be in the military? Because I assume, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but like being in the military was never in your plans, right? This was just kind of a means to an end.
I mean, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah,
as we put it.
Yeah, that's okay. Like, I know a lot of other, you know, instances like that too. I mean, that's totally fine. But was it the majority of the people at this school, like, were they doing it so that they could go to the military, or was it just kind of like in your situation?
So they had two separate categories of it. It's like a PG section. The PG guys were more guys like me just trying to get the grades up and get up out of there for, you know, other scholarships or opportunities. The other side of it was guys that, yes, we're going to be trying to get into military, like West Point
and right.
things of that nature.
Yeah. So I would assume PG stands for post-grad, right? As like your post-grad
yeah.
year.
Yeah.
Interesting. Right. And right. I feel like, I'm sure you've been out in Colorado now for a little bit. Like, we don't have stuff like that out here. That's such like an East Coast thing. So hearing people talk about it, tell stories about it is so foreign to me because
that's really? Never that's, even, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, that's never something that crossed my mind. Like, I even just learned about this, I feel like recently in the last year or so, like maybe talking to, you know, Sean Clark, I think he went to like a prep school like this or something like that. But like that just doesn't exist here really.
Wow. So,
yeah. I didn't even know you could do a post-grad year, you know, to, you know, get your grades up or get a little more yep. football tape. I didn't even know that existed. I was reading about and like see, the IMG, like in the Bishop Sycamore thing. That's like when I yeah. learned about all this stuff.
Right. And you know, the sad thing is it's not even just you. There's people here that don't even know about these opportunities. So they think after high school, it's over for them. I see so many of the guys that I played with in high school that were better athletes than I was back then.
Right.
Just kind of cut off at high school because they didn't know. They didn't have the access or resources or knowledge to even hear about this stuff.
Right. Yeah, that's wild, man. That's crazy. That does seem like something because that does just present you with a whole other, you know, a whole other opportunity. Yeah. Maybe you don't want to go to college yet, or maybe, you know, exactly. like you said, if you just get a little more tape, get a couple more games, you can get a scholarship yep. or something. So exactly. is that what ended up happening with you, or where did you go after that year?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened with me. I didn't have any scholarships of, you know, any real worth for me at the time coming out of high school. So when I went there, that actually started getting the name out there, started attracting people. Guys were coming to the combines at Fork Union because they held a couple of like big combines where NFL guys and scouts would come out.
Nice.
So it was just attracting the name, so they would see like, oh, he's been in the news again, he's been in the paper here, he's I'm hearing another good thing about this kid. I don't know who he is, but you know, it's like you're building that resume and people can kind of see that. So that helped me out. I still didn't like the offers I got out of Fork Union. So
yeah.
After Fork Union, I left and went to a junior college because that's another opportunity where you're only just slashing off 1 year of your eligibility, really.
Right.
So I went and did that and did a year there, and then that's when I got my 4-year.
Nice. And then you ended up at Central Connecticut State, is that right?
Yeah, correct.
And how was that experience?
That experience was just as fun as the rest of the process in itself, because I came on to the team and it was like a really low program. It was a program where they had just been finishing losing seasons after losing seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got on that team. They brought in a great group of guys and coaches, and we turned the whole program around in a couple seasons and won a whole championship, conference championship.
Yeah, I was looking at your stat sheet yesterday. I think it was your senior year. What, you guys only lost, what, 3 or 4 games, something like that?
Yep.
Right off a huge win streak right in the middle of all that?
Yep, exactly.
Nice. It's awesome, man. And so then you ended up in Germany from there, is that right?
Yeah.
So how did that opportunity come about?
That was actually an unusual one. It's just kind of networking, I guess, if you call it that. But I had been going through some things in my own personal life. My mother had passed away during my senior year of football in college.
I'm sorry to hear that.
It happens, man. It's part of life, but I appreciate that. And I was just kind of, you know, at a low point. You kind of go from being the man in your senior year, being, you know, that person that everybody's looking at and looking for and calling for, to now your senior year is done. There's no more football. There's no more sports. You're just in school.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't playing sports anymore. So I had a guy that had graduated a year before me that I was really cool with on my team. He left and he's from Australia. So we don't really know. I didn't really know about any of this stuff prior. I just know that he was from out of the country.
Mm-hmm.
He called me out of the blue one day. And he was like, Gerard, hey, man, I seen that you've been going through a lot of stuff money-wise, and I know you might need some money. Hey, do you want to come play some football out here in Germany? My coach needs a safety, and you're the first person I thought of. Okay. So, I mean, that was history in itself. As soon as he said that, I gave the coach a call. Coach saw the film, and he was just like, hey, man, why don't you come on out? How much do you need? Like,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Had you been out of the country before, or was that your first time?
That was my first time ever stepping outside the country.
What a
that
leap.
Was an experience. What? They didn't even have driving. I wasn't even driving a car that had automatics out there. I was driving manual. I didn't know how to drive a manual
so
car.
That's a big time culture shift then. Everything.
Right.
Everything is new. That's crazy. So how long were you there?
I was there for a full year and some change. And I was out there taking courses for like master's programs. And it's free out there. It's free education out there. So they bring you into the schooling part of it. They get you ran through to get your residency stuff for a little bit, and you know, you just go from there.
Nice. So
then, a little bit.
That is nice. So did you play one football season, two football seasons? Like, how did that fit into the year?
I played one full season there. I got re-signed to come back in 2020, but something unfortunately happened in 2020, big COVID.
Yes.
So that got shut down, and then, you know, I kind of went on to different things after that, I guess.
But you were going to go back?
Yeah, I was going to go back in 2020. I had already signed a contract to the Hildesheim Invaders, but COVID kind of shut down everything.
Yeah. I guess I got a couple more questions about that. What was the football like out there? Was it good?
The football was really good, actually. The skill positions are like some of the best that I've seen. They got a lot of athletes and athletic guys out there. The biggest difference was how fast the play was.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty slow in comparison to like if I played college, because of
the linemen
don't move as fast or not as like agile and athletic as our guys, you know. So that was the only difference I saw. So it just makes the game a little quicker.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah. I feel like that's usually like the first change I hear about a lot of different levels of football is the speed. So that makes sense.
Yep.
And then I guess just like what's the biggest thing you learned going to Germany?
I learned a lot. Definitely for me, I just learned to really open up, and I can relate to a different group of people now, because I've kind of traveled around. It kind of opens your horizons to just, you know, be able to relate and get different perspectives on things. Because I saw things in Germany that I didn't even think were real. I didn't even know about. So you get out there and you just kind of travel around, because it's pretty accessible to travel once you're already outside the country.
Uh-huh.
So you kind of travel around, you just see all this different stuff, and you're like, man, yeah, it kind of opens my eyes to some things about, you know, how some of the stuff works and gives different perspectives. Is it?
That's awesome, man. What opportunity. I'm glad that you got to do that.
Yeah.
That's sweet. So then I know you said you're going to resign, that falls through because of COVID. So then how do you kind of find your way into rugby? How's the opportunity to come play for Raptors come about?
So that was a blessing, man. Cause I had like I told you, I was going through another little grace period, I guess you call it. And I was not doing sports. I was out of sports for a full year again after 2020. I was just kind of working out and working a 9-to-5 job at this rental company, Summit Capital.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just working there, and for some reason it just stays on my heart. You know, you just gotta be ready just in case anything were to happen. You don't want to get that call and then you weren't ready. So I just kind of stayed in shape. I didn't know what was going to be coming about. I really had no idea, but stayed in shape, worked out, and I got a call out of the blue from this guy that I had met years prior in college that was going to be holding his event again in Indianapolis. So I got an invitation to come back out to do the NFL National Scouting Combine that year. And I was just already, you know, prepared for it and just went out there, did really, really well. Got to meet Mark and Peter because they came out to the event, and I got to meet the U.S. bobsledding team scout. I got to meet some WWE people, and everybody just, you know, was looking for athletes at the time. So they were all at this event, and I did really well. I was probably one of the top performers at the event.
Nice.
They, you know, right.
That's a pretty diverse little, you know, I guess options you have to pick from there, right? You got rugby, you got bobsled, and you got wrestling. That sounds, I'd be interested in the WWE, dude. Like, how far did that go?
I already signed a contract right now with an agency that promotes getting you over into the WWE, different, you know, wrestling arenas, I guess you would call it. But, right now I'm in the process. I got it in a grace period, I guess you would call it, because I was doing the rugby thing. I was like, well, no, I'm already signed to the American Raptors. I kind of got to wait before I want to try to pursue anything on that. But I have an agent now.
Nice.
That I've been talking to. He's been keeping up with me with the whole rugby career thing. And he's just kind of, you know, waiting to see what's the next step and where we're going with everything. So,
okay, cool, man. That's awesome. I'll ask you about that in a little bit then. So how'd you make the decision to come play rugby then? Was that just kind of the thing that was on the table at the time? Like, was the other stuff kind of in the works?
No, I was just more so taking it to the point where it's like I was getting basic with everything. I was like, I miss sports. I miss playing games. I'm kind of just willing to play anything. Whoever, you know, shows interest and, you know, can show me that they can help me out and secure some things in my life that I need secured right now, I'll do it.
Right.
You know, so that's where that came about. Peter and Mark were the first ones, you know, roll out the red carpet and say, hey, this is what we're trying to do. They showed me the vision. They showed me the plan. I was like, that's a really good idea. I kind of like that. And I can see that happening. I'm with that. So,
yeah, that's awesome, man. So did you know anything about rugby before that meeting then?
Man, I didn't even know rugby was a sport. I know people laugh at me when I say this.
That is funny. That's interesting.
I didn't even know it was a thing. I had never heard of it. I don't come from a community that's talked about rugby at all. So I never even knew that was a sport until, you know, I kind of ventured off and met some different people. But
yeah. So when did you show up then? Was it in May? I feel like I saw you around before the last match or something.
Nope, you got it right. I showed up in May for that one-day tryout. They invited me to come on out. They saw me at the combine performing, and I was just like, what am I getting myself into?
Yeah.
There's cheerleaders. They're cheerleading up right now. They're hitting each other with no pads on. Like, what is this? This is crazy. But I ended up really liking it, man. It's been definitely a fun journey.
Yeah, you had a good fall season, scored a couple of tries. So that's what I was going to ask. Like, did you like it? What did you like about it?
Nah, I liked it a lot. What I liked most about it was my teammates, really. They were the guys that kind of sucked me into staying. But, you know, just the camaraderie, the integrity of the guys, like the level of guys that I see playing rugby just all over. It's a good group of gentlemen. They're cool guys. Just people you want to be around. And that's the kind of atmosphere, like, you want to be involved in.
For sure. What was the hardest part about switching and, you know, getting into rugby, transitioning into rugby?
The hardest part about it for me personally is I am really big on details and structure. So it's hard when you have different coaches and different people teaching you the game of rugby because everybody has a piece of how they believe rugby is supposed to be played.
Yeah.
So that's the hardest piece that you have to, like, take a little piece of everything that everybody's saying and then still create it into your own.
Right. Yeah, and I know just from, you know, talking to some of your teammates and stuff, like that, this has been going on for a year now, talking to Mark, talking to some of the coaches, that what they've said is they've seen with you guys, because you are such elite, you know, high-level athletes, you've been playing football for X amount of years, you've, like, mastered it, that learning something new, like, it is, you can see that it gets frustrating for some guys because they're not, like, where they want to be yet, but that's just kind of part of the process, you know?
Right, right.
Yeah. So I know you said you got some wrestling stuff in the works now, but is rugby something you could see yourself kind of pursuing, taking seriously now?
I absolutely can see myself going far with the whole rugby thing, as long as everybody is one team, as everybody is on the same accord. Because every program that I've been a part of that had winning mentalities and had winning culture, those are the teams that excelled. We might not have had the talent, we might not have had the, you know, the grunt about us, but we always had everybody together. So if I can move in that, I'm definitely down to stay in the rugby, rugby culture. For sure. But, you know, there's other opportunities out there that I'm not going to, you know, put to the wayside, you know, if, you know.
Yeah. And you shouldn't, right? You should explore every opportunity that comes your way. Yeah. That's what life's about. So
yep.
I respect that. I like that. So what's the off season look like for you now, Gerard? I know, are you back home now? Are you back on the East Coast? Where are you at? And kind of what are you doing?
Man.
And I know you said you got the wrestling thing. So I would assume I'm excited to hear about that. I want to hear a little bit more about that for sure.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I'm back home right now. I'm back home in Maryland at my place. And I'm just kind of training right now. I'm getting my guys together from back home, and I'm starting to partner with my local church and my high school, because I want to start trying to talk and train some guys one-on-one, just to get some guys filtered through to this combine.
Mm-hmm.
I know they're a big help, especially for guys that I know here. For hometown, like talent, I want to get them filtered through to this NFL combine. Now that I'm, you know, in the works with, you know, Jimmy Kimball and, you know, his staff, that's a great opportunity for some kids. So that's what I'm kind of doing in my off season right now. A little bit of coaching and just staying in shape, working out.
That's awesome, man. I know. And this wrestling thing, I'm excited, man. Is there anything you can tell us about that? Like when that might, you know, come to the light a little bit, or is that all just fluid?
It's kind of just in a waiting period. It's up in the air. It's like I already got somebody that's working on my behalf. He's got a whole team and staff that he's got working behind the scenes for the whole pushing wrestling right now. So I haven't really contacted as much because I don't want to, you know, do anything outside of my rugby contract. So I'm just now getting home. I'll probably catch up on everything and, you know, get in touch. But he's stayed in touch, you know, as far as rugby stuff, but we have a whole lot of wrestling contract and everything. Yeah. So we'll see where it goes. But the plan is with wrestling, if I were to go do it, I'd kind of go to a wrestling facility somewhere in Orlando and do paid training.
Okay. I've heard about this. I feel like I've heard about that, like the WWE thing down there. That's interesting. Yeah. 'Cause that's what I was going to ask is like, do you know anything about like pro wrestling, or like how does that even go? Like how do you even get selected to do that? You just have the body type for it, and they know you're an athlete.
You got the body type for it. Somebody scouts you, and they see, you know, they just see what they like pretty much, and they like what they see. So they'll talk to my agent. They'll be like, "Oh, he's got a profile. We like his body type. He's got the look. Can he make it through the training?" Basically, you just try to go through the training. But I don't think I'll have a problem with it or anything.
No, that's awesome. Do you have like a name and stuff picked out? I can help you do that if you want. We can workshop something.
I am dead.
So hit me up when that time comes. We'll get it together. We'll come up with some ideas and we'll make you a star, Gerard. I love it.
That would be hilarious, man. I would die. I'd love that.
All right, Gerard. That's all the questions I had for you, man. I usually leave this last part open. You want to push socials or anything? Where can people follow you? Anything you want to say, feel free to spit it off now. And other than that, I got no other questions. So,
Man, just follow me on IG at @RodDiesel_22, man. And love you guys. Have a blessed day.
All right. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with American Raptors wing Gerard Kahn. Thank you to Gerard for taking the time to chat with me. I say it every week, but the guests do make the show, and I really do appreciate when they take time to come, you know, talk with me, and it gives an interesting interview for everybody to listen to. So hope you enjoyed it. We will jump into required reading right now, but I'm going to skip it this week. We'll get everyone a break, no required reading. We'll be back at it next week just in time for Christmas. So we'll go ahead and close the show with the loop. I've been talking about this for a while, but I have made significant progress on two pieces I've been working on for some time. I've been working on one of these pieces since October, but I finally have got a couple interviews done. Got a few more lined up. I will have that out by the new year, so keep your eyes peeled for that. Should have another one, I think, ready to go before Christmas. So I'll give you something to read while you're off work or school or wherever. The best way to keep your eyes on all that stuff, best way to keep, you know, that coming through, coming across your radar, is to follow along on Twitter at @DNVR_rugby, at Colton Strickler. That's where you can see it all. Make sure you follow us. Other than that, that's my show. Hope everybody had a great week. I hope you have a great weekend. Catch you all back here next week.